Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message this evening is coming to you from the Lighthouse Team Church, a Bible teaching church, and we pray that everyone is walking close with the Lord God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need. And may He speak through us so that the words, Father, are not ours but yours. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be talking to you this evening from Galatians chapter 5. And you know, this first verse of this chapter really got me thinking. Because so many of us really, when it comes right down to it, don't know what it means to walk as a child of the living God. And for the most part, we really don't know how to build a prayer life. Most of us, when we go to the Lord in prayer, it's always to ask for this or that. It's always asking Him for something for ourselves. But that's not what prayer is about. Not God's way of praying. Actually, it's three parts to prayer to build a good prayer life. One is to always start your prayer with giving Him thanks. Thanking Him for what you have. Not crying for what you want, but thanking Him for what you have. And then two, (clears throat) is giving him praise. Praise means that you are actually listening to his words, and you get that through the study of his words and through fellowshipping with each other at the church, and then thanking him for that. Because we are to be putting him first in everything, especially our prayers. The Lord Jesus Christ himself put you and I first before his own life. He gave his life so that we could have life. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to be lifting up praise and really getting into his word, helping to distribute his word, sharing with others that we know, others that we come into contact with. And then three, that third phase is worship, is worshiping him. Sharing everything with him. And when you give him thanks, you give him praise, and you share everything with him, then you'll find that your prayers will get answered. But as long as we keep just praying these selfish prayers, give me this, give me that, Lord, give me this, give me that, how many prayers have we already prayed that we have had no answer for? Because that's what we've been doing. Now this first verse here in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul is telling them, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because you see, he was having troubles in his day and time with the church because of those that was coming against him, just like we're having today, of those that will come against us. And all of you that know me, and all of you that do come here, and all of you that takes part in the ministry, as you'll stand on God's word, when you stand on God's word, you're going to find out people are going to talk about you. They're going to lie about you because they don't want the truth. They want you tickling their ears. Paul had this same thing other than what they were doing, and he was reminding them of that here in his first verse, that they was listening to those Judaizers that was following him around from place to place, and they was listening to them, and they was dragging them out from under grace, out from under Paul's teaching, and trying to bring them back in under the law, back into bondage. That's exactly what they were trying to do. And we see the same thing going on today in our churches because they teach contrary to the Word of God. A lot of things that they teach wrongly, which instead of doing good, does more harm than good to the people. You can say, well, you know, yeah, they teach you to be baptized, but they teach it the wrong way. So it's done no good. Because they took you out from under grace to bring you back in under the law, under John's baptism. Instead of keeping you under grace of Almighty God. Now here in 2, verse 2, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Paul letting them know. Don't listen to these Judaizers telling you that you've got to still be circumcised. Because you see, when you start believing that, and we could, even today, if I was to stand up here and tell you, well, you're a male, and you've never been circumcised, you've got to go and be circumcised in order to make heaven your home, I'm putting you right back in under the law. This is what those people were trying to do to the church in Paul's day that he was writing about. But by the same token today, they don't tell you that, but they'll tell you, well, you've got some of them out there that'll tell you, you don't even have to be baptized. That's just symbolic. No, it's a commandment. And we're told why. Because that's the way we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring him into our lives. And we're told that. The 6th chapter of Romans, the whole chapter is on what happens to you when you are baptized. They don't want to listen to it. They want to do things their own way. Now, and when we are teaching contrary to God's word, it profits you nothing. Does nothing for you. It is only when we stay in and with the word of God that we gain. Now, 3. Paul says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." When you actually start to believe some of the things they are teaching in our churches today, and you do that as a belief in Jesus, you become where you are supposed to keep the whole law. And we can't do it. They couldn't do it. Why? And what would make you and I think we could do it? No, we can't. Because you see, it takes that plan of salvation that has been given down to you and I under the grace of Almighty God for us to be able to walk with the power in us to live the right kind of life and to be able to keep the word of God. On our own, we can't keep that. On our own, we're going to have lust. We're going to fall. This body is full of lust. And you can't control it on your own. Only the Spirit of Almighty God can control lust. We're told not to have it. And we'll be getting into that a little later. Now, verse 4. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." When we go to keeping these things according to the law, and we go to walking contrary to the grace of God, he told you right there that you have fallen from grace, and you're no longer a child of God. You see, man, today, I want to do it my way. This is what I think. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what you think. What matters is what the Word says, what it states. Now, if the Word, if you've got something on your mind, well, I'd like to go do this. What's God's Word say about it? Is it all right in God's Word? If it's all right in God's Word, then you can go do it. But if it ain't, then leave it alone. Now, 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait. We wait for that hope. And that hope is making heaven our home, isn't it? That hope is living for the Lord our God. And we know that the only way we can do that is to live by faith and through faith. And that has to be done by the Spirit, because we don't have that kind of power on our own. That kind of power only comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Mankind don't like this kind of preaching. That's why we're seeing this church build so slow. They don't want to come and hear it. They don't want to hear it from you when you talk to them about it, do they? What about you, James? People you talk to, they really want to hear it? No. Not if you're giving them the Word. Our world is getting in bad, bad shape. And I really believe that we are living in the period of time that Christ will come back for his church. Now, we can't say what year, what month, or what day, no. But I'm talking about a period of time. And I believe we are in that period where it could happen at any time. There's nothing left to be done, really, before the Lord comes for his church. And if we're not ready, and we're not living according to this Word, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to miss out on making heaven our home. And I don't want to see nobody that I know or nobody I come in contact with miss out on making heaven their home. That's why I'm in the ministry. I don't want to see mankind lost. I know there's going to be, yes, I know there's going to be more lost than saved. But it's not what the Lord wants. It's not what I want or what you should be wanting. That's why we are all to work for mankind, getting them in to where they can hear the Word of God and quit playing church, to get down to business. All right, now, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We have to have that love of each other for faith to work. If I don't carry that godly love in me for you, James, then I'm not going to worry about you at all. You just go do whatever you want to do. It'll be all right. Just go on and do whatever you want to do. But you see, when we care for each other with that godly love, I want to know that you're all right. I want to know that you're doing good. I want to know that Dennis is fine. I want to know that he's in health. Because if he's not and I find it out, I hurt with him. Just like I was telling you all, I think last week, about finding Dave, finding out about him being sick. I went to see him, to talk with him and to pray for him, because I am concerned. I make 2 and 3 trips a week down to our favorite place down there to see that one. Most of the time I never get to see him because he's never there. And he's not coming here. You see, he got what he wanted from the church. And he's doing what he thinks is fine, and he's about to lose it all. Last time I seen him, was talking to him, he told me that himself. He's about to lose his wife. If he loses her, he'll lose the business. But yet, he's still got his own mind he's following. And I am concerned. I worry about it. I pray for him sometimes 2 and 3 times every day. One day, that prayer will be answered. How it'll be answered, I don't know. But it will be. Because you see, God don't work like we work, and he works by his own time, in his own way, and sometimes he lets us go through things that are awfully hard for us to learn, and it's not his will. He don't want any of us hurting, not a one of us. But he'll let you go through things in order for you to learn. I better get something straight. I need to find out about some things. And then you go to his word and you get in his word. There's an answer for every problem that we'd ever have right here in this book. It's all here. Just getting into it and getting others into it and getting them to believe it. 7. Paul's telling them, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He's asking them. The Galatians, they had been making good progress. But then the Judaizers came along, started feeding them all that about having to be circumcised and all. And they leaned and started falling away and following that false gospel of the Judaizers. And we've got too much false teaching going on today. I know mankind don't like to hear me say that. Probably the ones here don't like to hear me say that. But it's true. There's so much wrong teaching going on today. And we're seeing none of the power of God at work. At all. Now, verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. That persuasion. Paul's telling him. He said, it didn't come by him, the one that called you. In other words, it didn't come by God. These Judaizers were spreading false gospel, which was coming from Satan, trying to drag them back in under legalism. We got a whole lot of legalism today in our churches. And that's exactly where it's coming from. It's coming from Satan. It's not coming from God. Verse 9. Here's something that's really to think about. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, Paul's letting them know he's using leaven, which they used in their bread making and all. And we still do a lot of it in our homes today when we're actually making biscuits and things. And he's letting them know it only takes a little. A little of that false doctrine to ruin the whole church. That's what he's letting them know. Says it will leaven the whole lump. In other words, it will ruin and corrupt the whole church. When you let a little something come in that's against the word of God and you let it stay in the church, next thing you know, there's something else gonna follow it in. Until next thing you know, you don't have God's church anymore. You've got man's church instead of God's church. Now, 10. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul is believing that the Gentiles will eventually retain or keep the true gospel. This is why he's still after them, and they won't be completely led astray to follow the heretics or these Judaizers. And that's why we need to be praying for all of our churches today. Is that they'll quit teaching the things that is contrary to God's word and repent, clean up, and begin teaching the whole law of God, his word. Not the Mosaic law, but the law of God. You see, his word is law. And that's what we are to follow, his word. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul, letting them know there, that he is refuting the accusations that has been made against him. And he's letting them know, I'm not preaching circumcision. That's all lies. I don't stand on that gospel at all. And he's letting them know that belongs to the Judaizers, not him. He's letting these Galatians know that that's not the way he is. Now, because for one, if he had been preaching circumcision, they wouldn't have been against him. They'd have been with him. That was his proof right there. And he's letting this Galatian church know about it. 12. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Paul's letting them know that he wished they'd be cut off. Now, my Bible in the notes puts it a little different than that. See if I can find it here. Oh, okay, here it is. It says, here's the way my Bible reads it, about what Paul's saying. It says, the verse may mean, I wish those troubling you would have themselves castrated. That wasn't what he was saying at all. But he was wanting them cut off from them. And the only way that happens is when you are dealing with people that will not listen to the law, and if they're among you, and you keep on teaching God's word, eventually they'll leave. The Spirit will cut them off from you. They'll get them out. When you go to getting on them for wrong things they're doing, I told you about several things that happened to me in my ministry. And not letting it just go on without saying anything about it. I could have set that day that that young lady come in with a micro miniskirt, not even a miniskirt, a micro miniskirt, and come down on the front row right in front of me and sitting there just keep crossing her legs way up high, knowing she's uncovered, and then look at me and laugh. I could have went on and just let it win. But instead, I stopped preaching. I told the congregation, I had a church full. I told the congregation, I told them, I said, we've got a young lady here that don't know how to keep herself covered. When she covers herself, I'll go back to my message. She got up and left. But the next week, she came back. Come back to the altar and gave her heart to God. If I let her got away with that day, she could still have been lost to this day and would have brought others in with her that would have carried on the same way. We're not to let wrong things go on in the church. Now, there's right ways and wrong ways to do things. And there are a lot of things that will take place in church that we need to wait after the services and go and talk to that one. But then there are things that you need to bring out and stop then. Now, I lost one that if I had done it the right way, I may not have lost. I don't know. But she asked me a question. And if I'd waited until after the services and just went and talked to her, I might have not lost her. But I answered it right when she asked me. She asked me, she says, why is it that I can't really concentrate during the service? Well, I knew a little something about it. And after I said, well, tell me this. How were you baptized? She told me. I told her, I said, that's your problem. You need to be re-baptized. She left. We did come back. Because you see, I embarrassed her in front of the whole church. Should have went and talked to her about that later. So to say, you see, we all learn. Yes, I should have answered her questions, and she may have left anyway. I don't know. But I could have been a lot more gentle about it. But she also cost me two more. Because she called one of them up, got on them for coming to my church, told them they need to go where she was going. And the one she's talking to just told her, well, I just won't go nowhere, and quit. Quit going to church. We need to handle things by the Spirit, according to the Spirit, and in God's way. And do it in love and kindness. All that we can. Now, there is times, like I said, there's times that you will have to stop things right then. And then if they leave, they just leave. But anyway, now, 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This liberty he's talking about is the law. And he's letting them know that they've been called to liberty. They've been called to be free. They've been called to live under grace, not under the law. Because that would bring them right back to putting them under bond, binding them up. You know, when we think that we can actually, because we are free, and we can still sin, we're going to miss out. Because no child of God, no true child of God can sin and get away with it. Now, when I'm speaking about you sinning, I'm talking about things that you know is wrong. Things you know is sin. And then you do it anyway. That you can't get away with. We're told that in God's word. So why these churches will stand and tell you these things, yet they don't want to hear the word of God. And if they had, they wouldn't be telling you such as that. Because right here in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells you that exact same thing that I just got through telling you. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Once I know something is sin, I don't do that no more, because I've got no sacrifice for it. I've got no way of getting forgiveness for that. And that will keep me out of heaven. Oh, no. No, I wouldn't. No, you can be forgiven for it. Well, let's see what the Word of God says about it. Verse 27, he says, no more sacrifice for sins, ending up there with 26. 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what you got to look forward to once you want to continue down that road. Think about it. He goes on to tell us, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We're told why, even. That's why I keep stressing the point, and will continue as long as I'm in the ministry, stressing the point that all of the answers are in the Word of God. We just got to find it. There's a lot of things in the Bible that mankind could do that you and I can't do. Boy, Solomon was one of them. Look how many wives he had. And then on top of that, look how many concubines he had. You and I, we can't have but one. Most of us do good to handle the one. What would we do with five or six, even, instead of 100 or so? And 200 or 300 girlfriends on the side? We don't live under that kind of dealing. Things has changed for you and I. Or should have. If it hasn't, then we in trouble. Think about that. If it hasn't changed, we're in a lot of trouble. My life keeps changing every day. What about you, Dennis? Because you see, James, we keep getting stronger. And we should get stronger every time we come to church. That we're in the Word of God. We should always leave with something new. And if we have a question, don't leave without getting it answered. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's where the love of each other comes in to play. All right. 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many people do you know that actually do that? Not many do. 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And that's why we have the problem within the church world today that we've got. Is from that biting and all that was going on in our churches. This group couldn't get along with this group. This group couldn't get along with this group. We'll just go start our own. That's what they did. Nothing good comes from anger. Start with. But they split. Neither one of them right. Instead of sitting down, taking the Word of God, and working things out, and learning to love one another, and to build God's church. 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, I was telling you earlier, you can't control that lust. This flesh, it has that sinful nature. We're born with it. You on your own, you can't control it. When this flesh goes to wanting something, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to fulfill whatever that lust was. But the Spirit can control it. It takes the power of Almighty God to control this flesh. We can't do it on our own. That's why they couldn't keep the law. Because they was on their own. They didn't have what you and I have today. They didn't have that Holy Spirit of Almighty God living. They didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside them. We do. If we are a born-again child of God, we have got that power of God living in us. And it can control this flesh. It's the only thing that can. Seventeen. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. The Spirit and lust can't live in the same place. They don't get along. They're enemies. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Because that Spirit is controlling you. That Spirit's guiding you. That Spirit's giving you the power to walk according to the Word of Almighty God. 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things your flesh will lust after. Adultery. In other words, it leads you to go out and commit sexual misuse against your spouse. Fornication. That's among your single people. That's misusing sexuality. That's what fornication is. Uncleanliness. That is also a sexual impurity. Lasciviousness. Also sexual sin. It's sexual excess. Adultery. That is not just worshiping things instead of God, but it's also worshiping others, like occults and things that way. Anything that's not God can lead you into adultery. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is actually sorcery. And that means you're tampering with powers that you should have left alone. I have dealt with that. I can take you now, introduce you to some young men. They're young men now. They were boys, 10, 11-year-olds. Right there in West Point. They run around with my youngest son, Jimmy. They all run around together. They got to messing with occults. And they got to messing with devil worship. I had two of them come one evening because I had Bible study at my house every night. I stopped Jimmy from getting around with them. Of course, he'd see them at school. One of them had gotten so bad the school suspended him, wouldn't even let him come back to school. Two of them come to my Bible study one evening. I got my Bible study started. This one boy, he was going to carry on, disrupt everybody. I just walked over to him, laid my hand on his forehead. I said, "Peace be still," and I kept my hand there. He went to crying, begging, "Can you get your hand off me? Get your hand off me. You're burning me up. You're burning me up." He don't live too far from here. He's married now. But here's how he quit devil worshiping. And the one that started it all, I was sitting there on my porch one evening after work. He comes screaming across the yards from his house. I went to see what was wrong with him. He'd been out in the backyard messing with devil worshiping. Him and another friend of his. And he seen the ground open up and look straight into heaven. As you talking about being upset, you had one upset young man. Took a while to get him calmed down. I asked him, I said, what's the matter with you? He told me what it was. I sat him down and talked to him, got my Bible, read some things to him, got him straightened out. One of the young men that had been with them hung himself in his closet. His mother found him before he killed him. That's what witchcraft will do for you. Hatred. We all know what hatred is. Strife. Strife is self-ambition. Is what that means. Seditions. That's dissensions. Heresies. Well, we know that heresies has to do with organized divisions and cliques, which has caused the split of a lot of churches. I'm going to read the rest of these. We've got just about six more verses. I'm going to go ahead and read them. And then we're going to get ready and close out here in just a minute. 21, envying, murders, drunkenness. We all know what all those are. Revelings. That reveling used here, he's talking about excessive eating, gluttony. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, God's word tells us exactly. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what we all need in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be working to get it there. And we want it all. Not just part of it, but we want all of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And listen, though, when you got all of that, what happens? Against such, there is no law. When you have that, and that's the kind of life you're living, there's nothing that can come against you to pull you away from God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. When we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for our forgiveness, and we're baptized in his name, we've put on his death, his resurrection, and our life is to change, and we are no longer to walk with any of those things that we should not have. We are to walk with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one of another. We're not to envy. Have envy in our lives. But we are to love each other. And we are to always walk in the Spirit. Not just have it dwelling in us, but we are to walk in it, living it, living this word, bringing it out everywhere we go. Everything we do should be according to the word of Almighty God if you want to make heaven your home. Give you something to think about tonight, didn't I? Probably think about it tomorrow, too. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, they are your chosen people, and we are praying that Israel will repent, turn from the law, and come under grace, putting Jesus first in their lives, accepting him as their Savior, as their Messiah, walking with him, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, this land, it had no excuse whatsoever. At one time, Father, we know that this land was filled with your Spirit. This land was filled with those that were your children. But Father, we have watched a great falling away without any excuse whatsoever, taking Jesus out of every place he was in. But Father, we're asking now and praying and believing to be able to replace those that is against the church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against you, Father, and to replace them with those that will work for the gospel, for the church, for Jesus, and work with us and help us to bring this land to repent so that it can be healed, Father, and become a nation for you once again. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy and Amy's friend, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, I pray for them to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to lead these churches along the pathway of righteousness, to keep them spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the right way and with power. Now, Father, for this young man, Will, that has been ordained into the ministry, Father, I pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and that he is the pastor you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, I lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there, Father. And that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father, I pray that you will keep one there in that church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light in that light being Jesus. And Father, for this church where we are, Father, keep it filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Help us to fill it, Father, with those that are seeking and wanting new life and life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Iron, Father, keep these men safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Taylor family, for my wife's family, and for my family. Father, all these families and those that hear this message, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within the families. Lead those that are walking in darkness. Turn them. Turn them from that darkness and lead them to light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Palance Goodman, Father, for Karen. These all need that special touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, a healing touch. Some, Father, stands in great need of spiritual healing, and some are standing in need of physical healing. Heal them now, Father. Make them whole and make them one of thy child. And for myself, Father, you know what my needs are. And Father, I stand on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in hope of my needs always being met. And we ask all of this now, Father, in Jesus' name, giving him all the praise, all the honor, all the glory and all the thanks. Amen. And God bless. And good Lord willing, come Sunday morning, we'll be back again. And Brother Dennis will be speaking for us Sunday morning. We'll see what God lays on his heart between now and then for us. We know it'll be something good. Have a great night now. Good night, all.